Would like to talk about the dignity of life this morning. I'd like to highlight kind of a truth that I think we all know, but that we maybe need to be reminded of sometimes, of how much God values us, how important each one of us is as an individual, as a person. I highlight this morning, probably I wouldn't expect any of you sitting here this morning to choose an abortion. I hope that if you were knew somebody who was considering that you would come alongside them, support them, encourage them, let them know that you would walk with them in helping them to care for their child or to find care for their child if that's what's needed. But as we look at this understanding of life, it goes even wider than that. Because as Lynn was saying this morning, we care about every person. God cares about every person, from the child in the womb to the oldest among us and everywhere in between. So let's take a look this morning at what the Word says about life, about us as individuals. Life is sacred and incredibly valuable. That's what God says. He places incredible value on every life. Let's take a look, first of all, at Genesis. God creates life in Genesis. In Genesis 1:26, this is what it says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all of the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created him. Here's the question. Do you find the image of God in every person that you meet? Whether it's your spouse who's being difficult at the moment, or your grumpy neighbor, or your unfair boss, or a criminal, or a terrorist. Do you find the image of God in them, in that person? Because God says he created everyone. He created man in his image. So that means we all bear the image of God, every person. No matter how much they get under your skin, no matter how much they are doing things that they should not be doing, every one of us bears the image of God. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Earlier, God creates the creatures, right? God speaks, and there's birds, and there's fish, and there's animals on the land. But when he gets to man, God actually takes the dust of the earth, and he forms man. It's a little bit different. We're unique in God's creation. And then man breathes into man the breath of life. We have life from God, this God who makes us in his image. We're unlike the animals. We're different, more valuable. It separates us from the animal kingdom. There's a special value in man, in life. There's more incidents in Genesis. You find out at the beginning of Genesis, there's a real emphasis on the value of human life. We know about what happens here with God's creation. We know about the sin that enters into our world through Adam and Eve and the fall. That's all at the beginning of Genesis. But then it goes on. Genesis highlights the sacredness of human life. Cain killing Abel is the one incident that's highlighted here out of Adam's family. Adam lived for 930 years. You think there might be a lot of highlights that we ought to read about in Genesis. The only real event that's highlighted there after the fall is Cain killing Abel. Why is that highlighted? I think it highlights, as we see what happens there, it highlights the sanctity of a human life. It's the worst thing that happened there in Adam's family. It's meant to highlight human life is important, and as God deals with Cain, he highlights this value of life. The next incident that comes up in Genesis is the flood. One might begin to assume after the flood, as everybody is destroyed except for Noah and his family in the flood, one might begin to assume that maybe life, human life, isn't so valuable to God. Well, the writer of Genesis and God himself wants to make sure that that's not our thought. And so right after the flood, as Noah emerges along with his family, God makes a covenant with Noah. And in that covenant, God emphasizes the value of human life. He does tell Noah, you will now rule over the animals. The animals will have a fear of you, and you may use the animals for food. But then he goes on in Genesis 9, 4-7, this is what God says. He says, but you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. God highlights the value of human life. He even says if an animal kills a person, God requires the blood of that animal. And definitely for a man, he says. He says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. All of this at the beginning of Genesis. And he goes on to say, As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth, increase upon it. God values human life. He wants to see it multiplied. He wants more people. The New Testament tells us something about the value of life. In Mark 10:45, it says this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What did Christ come from? For? To give his life. As what? As a ransom, as a payment for man. We're bought at a great price. You know, the value of something is determined by what someone's willing to pay for it. There's a lot of old things around that when we look at them, we'd think they shouldn't be of much value. Antiques, old comic books. What's their value? It has to do with what somebody's willing to pay for them. 15 cracked and brittle yellowed pages in a comic book can be worth quite a bit, determined by what is somebody willing to pay. God was willing to give the life of his Son for each and every one of us, for every person. He places incredible value on each and every person. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, God cares so much about us, about you individually, about me, that while I was still a sinner, God sent Jesus who died for me. He purchased me with his life. He was willing to give his life. God was willing to give his Son. Think this morning about what those truths mean for your own life, for you. Think about how much God thinks about you, how much God cares about you. Your value to God is not based on how well you perform. After all, he gave his life for us when we were sinners. It's not based on how well we perform in school. It doesn't matter what you scored on an intelligence test. It doesn't matter what you can do physically. It doesn't have to do with how well you fit into our society's concept of beauty. Doesn't have to do with how well you behave. Doesn't have anything to do with your family background, your ethnic heritage, your social class, or what other people think of you, good, bad, or indifferent. It's not even based on what you think of yourself. Your value is based on the fact that God has created you in His image, and He sent His Son, Christ, for you. And that's how valuable you are to God. That's what gives us a foundation for comfort, for hope, for security. Even when the world seems to be trying to get you down, God loves you. He cares about you. His mind is on you at this moment. One who is so valuable to Him, I don't think He'd forget about me. I don't think He'd forget about you. You are valuable to Him. I'd like to read this morning, Lynn read just a small part of it from Psalm 139. Because the psalmist here, David, understands how God knows him. He understands who he is in God's sight. And he understands who God is. So let's read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word was on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David says God is present with us everywhere. We couldn't get away from him if we wanted to. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I'll say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be night, will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. David knows it. All the way down inside, he knows. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. We'll stop there. God values you. He values each and every one of us. He knows you. He doesn't stop thinking about you. Well, just as God values us, we are to value every life as God does. Every life is valuable. We are valuable to Him. We are to value every life as God does. So this is the second question this morning. Do you value each and every life as God does? Regardless of how smart or good-looking or rich, regardless of how irritating or likable the person is, regardless of their abilities or their neediness, regardless of their race, their religion, their ideology, their nationality, do you value them as God does? I was at a conference the last 2 days. There's a speaker there, Leslie Francisco. He pastors a large church in Newport News, Virginia. He's an African American. He was talking to us, very good preacher. It's a large Mennonite church. But he was talking to us about ministering where God puts us, being who he's created us to be. And as he talked about our churches, he told us, be ready to accept whoever comes to your church. He said it'll be messy. But do you value every person? He says he's actually gotten calls from some other Mennonite pastors in the area. They said, we had somebody at our church last week. I think they'd really like your church. He said, he asked, is it a black person? I hope he hasn't had too many calls like that, but evidently he's had some. He was saying, be ready for whoever comes to your church. Everybody is of great value to God. Do we value them as God does? In Exodus 20:13, God places value in life by commanding that you shall not murder. But in Matthew 5, Jesus carries that further. He carries the value of life to not only refraining from murder, but showing that we are to value life just as God does, value each person as God does. And so Matthew 5:20-22, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subjected to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. Jesus says, if your heart condition toward others is anger or disdain or even indifference, then you're not seeing the incredible value of each person that God does. If you want to know how you're doing here, just ask yourself what you think about and how you act toward that neighbor who's letting his dog run through your yard and maybe stop on the way. Or the neighbor who plays loud music at all hours and never cuts his grass. Or the person who cuts you off on the highway. Or how you view that person walking down the street with tattoos over their entire body. These are all people that God loves and values at an incredible level. Do you see in them the image of God? In Luke 15, Jesus tells the story of the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep. What's he do? He leaves the 99 and he goes out searching, looking for the one sheep that is lost, that he can't find. The shepherd cares about every sheep. And I don't think it means that he just left the 99 totally unattended. There were under shepherds there. But the shepherd goes out after the one. He cares about every single one of his sheep. Jesus was trying to help us understand about his care for people, that everyone is valued. So how do we do? We're to value others in what we do. That's what we're to do. Do you show your value of other persons in the things that you do? This is what it says in Proverbs. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's what it means to value everyone. This verse is talking about those who get devalued in our world. And we're told we're to value them highly. To the point of speaking up for them, of defending them. A child in the womb fits that category. A mother who believes abortion is the only option she has because of what she's been taught, because of the pressures of life, fits that category. A man or a woman crushed under a load of guilt because of a past abortion fits that category. A child without a family fits that category. People stuck in the cycle of poverty, a person with special needs, prisoners, people in a strange land, strange to them, people who are being taken advantage of and used by others for their profit. They all fit that category of those who can't speak up for themselves, of those who need to be valued by us. And we show it by what we do for them. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King spoke up for himself and for people who are of the same color as himself, and I believe for others who experienced injustice. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." So valuing others means that we speak up when there's injustice. He also said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? How are we speaking up for them? Valuing them as God does. So every life is incredibly valuable to God. You are incredibly valuable to God. And we are to be living just to show that others are just as valuable to us. I'm going to ask you to watch that video that we watched this morning. I'm going to ask you to watch it again, because I think it's good enough. I think it gives the message well enough that it'd be good for us to hear that. So let's watch that one again.
God created mankind in His own image. He created them male and female in the image of God.
Like a set of new glasses that helps us see the world with greater clarity,
seeing people through God's eyes changes how we respond to them.
From the formation of a child's first tiny cell to life's final breath, all life has dignity and value.
Because each and every one of us is made in the image of God.
And that is why, when we talk about being pro-life, it's not just about a political issue.
It's a worldview. It's a life view. It's a way of looking at each
human life that transcends culture, class, race,
age, and opinion, knowing that we are all uniquely created in the image of God.
The sanctity of human life is deeply rooted in Scripture and modeled
through the life of Jesus Christ, who said,
"Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me."
When we begin to see others as God sees them, we're moved to care more deeply about those created in His image.
And we will live each day in a way that honors our Creator.
We won't see the Scriptures as mere words,
but as commands to express His heart through our actions.
Commands like speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves,
and ensure justice for those being crushed,
or love your neighbor as yourself.
The sanctity of human life speaks to ancient questions that span all of time and every culture.
Questions like, who is God? Who am I? Who is my neighbor?
Jesus responded to those questions with the story of the Good Samaritan, who saw another man who was broken and bleeding.
And instead of looking the other way as others had, he stopped
and cared for that man, even at great cost to himself.
Jesus said, go and do likewise.
Don't be silent in the face of injustice, but be a voice
for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Let us shine a light on practices that distort human dignity,
like human trafficking and the cycle of poverty that limits God-given potential and dreams.
Make sacrifices to meet the needs of those dying preventable deaths because they lack food, medicine, and clean water.
Embrace those with special needs as a special reflection of the image of our Creator God.
Let us see people as God sees them,
seeing their needs and having mercy on them, because every person is made in the image of God.
So, reach out to orphans in distant lands or the foster child in our own backyard
who is waiting, hoping, and praying for a family to call their own.
May we not pass judgment on the woman facing an unexpected pregnancy,
but surround her with support, helping her to
see the child growing within her as a unique person with a life as valuable as her own.
Let us care for the widow in distress and loneliness.
And let us befriend those in prison.
Let us rejoice in the image of God as expressed through various skin colors and ethnic traditions.
Refusing to tolerate racist attitudes that mock the one that created us.
Let us choose to see those who disagree with us as God sees them, treating them with respect and dignity,
while helping them to open their eyes to see the beauty and value of life.
That is what it means to be pro-life.
This is why we need to be a voice.
I ask the worship team to come forward. This week, know that you are valuable in God's sight. He cares about you. He thinks about you. He cares about what you're facing, what you're dealing with. No matter what anybody else says, you are valued to God. And everyone that you come in contact this week, is also valued by God. Do not miss the image of God in them. This morning I want to give you an opportunity to, as we worship, to come up front if you'd like to. As I've told you before, on this side over here, if you just want to pray on your own, come up. If you'd like somebody to pray for you, come up over here on this side. Maybe you just need to be reminded how much God cares for you individually as a person. Maybe there's something you want to repent of, some way in which you've devalued another person. Or maybe you're thinking of somebody who's been devalued and you want to bring them before the Lord. I invite you to do that this morning as we worship and end the service today. Please stand and let's pray and then we'll worship together. Lord, I ask that you would remind us how much you care for us. How highly you value us. Sometimes things can get us down and we might think otherwise. Lord, ask that you would remind each person here, that you would help each person to know deep within that you love them, that you care about them, and that you haven't forgotten about them. And Father, I ask that you would remind us that everybody that we come in contact is loved by you deeply. I ask that you would enable us to love them deeply, to do what we can do, to let them know that, and to speak up for them, and to show them your love and your care. In Jesus' name, amen.